I'm Charlotte, and I play bass in the Subways.
You do. You look exactly like her. How do you perfect that?
So it's a lot of hairspray and eyeliner, I think.
That's how I can't do either of those. There's a problem here. 2002, I'm going to have you fill in some things in here. Platypus, home recording, winning the unsigned band at Glastonbury. That's all out there.
We're back in the States for the first time in 8 years. I think that's a pretty big thing for us. It's very difficult for UK bands to come over here. It's quite an honest thing to say. Like, it's expensive. You know, it's financially been quite difficult for us to do this. That's why we had the Pledge Music campaign. But it's something that
we really
wanted to do. So that's
8 years. It's been that long. And I thought I was 21. A decade. I just showed you a picture. South by Southwest, 10 years ago. And yet... So you're saying you haven't played the U.S. for 8 years. Now, was South by Southwest, was that the first U.S. performance?
We did some shows before that. I'm trying to remember what order things came.
Probably you did New York or something before.
Our first show was actually in San Diego.
Really?
Yeah.
Very first U.S. performance, San Diego. That must have been an interesting tour manager thing.
I think we just flew it. I'm trying to remember which order everything came in now. South by Southwest was definitely early on. I think we'd done a few shows before that, but we then built another tour around South by Southwest. And we did, on that first album, we did do quite a lot over here. Like, we went on tour of Taking Back Sunday and Angels and Airwaves all over. And we did a lot of our own shows. One of the things I think is really cool, we feel quite honoured that we've done, is we got to do some of the TV shows, like David Letterman and Conan O'Brien. And those were like really amazing things to have done, I think, and kind of to look back on that. Really,
and what's fascinating, though, is that picture I showed you, if I showed you on the right-hand side of it, there's a guy with a big video camera, right?
Yeah.
And I was explaining to my daughter, back then there were flip phones, right? There were no iPhones. So doing a Letterman, doing those shows, you know, now you get 3 million Facebook views when you do one of those shows. But back then, it was a whole different thing, right?
Yeah, completely. I think we've seen quite a change in the industry in the last 10 years. And I feel kind of, in a way, quite lucky that we've experienced that. You know, things like, people are always asking us about what do we think about the internet's impact on music and the impact of illegal downloading. And that's something that really has happened in our time. Our first album came out and, like, it was kind of around, but like, I didn't know what it was. Like, it wasn't widespread, like illegal downloading, and kind of people, certainly iTunes wasn't around. You know, things like that, just, you know, that's something that's kind of come since then. Or maybe it was around, but, you know, it wasn't now it's the go-to thing to do. Like, kids these days don't buy a CD, do they? No one does that anymore. But like, it was still in the generation of people buying CDs. And I think it's kind of cool that we've experienced that change.
Back then there was a big label, wasn't there?
Yeah, we were on Warner's for the first two albums,
right.
Which was a great experience. And the main reason we signed with that label was the people that we met there, like our A&R guy and the press people. Like, they are still friends now, like, even though we don't work with them now. And actually, most of them don't even, you know this happens a lot in major labels. There's a lot of recycling of stuff. And most of them don't even work there anymore, but we're still like in contact with them, which is great. We made some good friends.
And big producers, the big producers, and then we'll get to today, but Butch Vig, I mean, oh my gosh. But back then, when you're that young and you're not naive, but because you were still at it when you did that, you were at it for a little while, but you're working with big producers, him, Stephen Street. How much do you feel your sound got through? And if you were doing those albums again today, how different would those records be, do you think?
I think... We are, you know, incredibly lucky that we've got to work with the three producers that we did. And each album is kind of, you know, definitely had an influence of those producers. You know, but I think the second album that Butch Vig produced sounds very, very American, kind of, in a way. You know, it's almost, you know, it sounds quite different to the other two. And the third album with Stephen Street, there's definitely a lot of, you know, the Britpop influence on there. But then that's something as a band that we have. You know, we loved Nirvana, but we also loved Oasis and Blur and bands like that growing up. And, you know, it was incredible to work with those guys. And I think because we were so young when we started, I think, you know, you look back at Young Fraternity now, and we do sound young. We are, you know, still learning how to be in a band, still learning our instruments to a certain extent. Perhaps we still are now, I don't know. But we look back on that first album, and it's, you know, it is imperfect, and there are things that could be better, but it is as it was. And at that time, that's the best that three 18-year-olds could have made. So I think that's the same for each of our albums. You know, when do the second album with Butch Vig. We'd been in a band, you know, we'd been doing it for 3 years and we'd kind of been all over the world and done some amazing things, but still very much learning. We're still early 20s. Everyone's learning who they are in their early 20s, aren't they? Trying to figure out life and stuff.
Some of us are learning who they are much later.
Yeah, I think, you know, still have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. But now the original three-piece is back, and Pledge Music, let's talk about that for a second, because you would think, oh, we're just coming to America. It would be that easy, but it's not easy at all. But you got 130, I looked, you got 113% of what you were asking for on Pledge Music, and I think that's an exact number. And that's really impressive to come back after 8 years to have fans that are so willing to support you here. Did that blow you away? Were you amazed? And in the first place, obviously the money wasn't there, because if you're not, you know, regularly doing this at that level for 8 years, money isn't exactly flowing like, you know, like gold, right?
Yeah, definitely. We couldn't afford to come here without that Pledge Music campaign. That's the kind of, and you know, so doing it is kind of a risk, really. You know, maybe no one would have bought anything and we wouldn't have reached the target. I think obviously we still would have come, but it would have, you know, really, you know, we wouldn't have, you know, we're not making money on this tour, but it would have ate into the profits from other shows later in the year. Festivals and stuff would have had to then pay for it. So, which, yeah, like you say, money isn't free flowing. We've all got to eat and, you know, it exists. But the Pledge thing's been incredible. Like, can't believe the response we've had from it and that people have got on board and got involved.
And what a different world, because if you tried to do this 10 years ago, how would you would have sent people emails?
Yeah, they've been, you know, incredibly different. The kind of one of the big differences is, you know, still the big labels, and you'd have got tour support to come and do something like this, but tour support doesn't really exist anymore because labels can't afford it, so you have to get over here yourself.
So self-produced this time around, and you know, it sounds really good. So self-produced means you went in and recorded it, but did you have a really good mixing engineer?
No, it was all Billy. Billy did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds great. Yeah. So, but it saves a lot of time because you don't have to like send yourself demos.
Yeah, exactly. It worked really well for us because we're a band that loves being on tour and loves playing live shows. So we were able to break it up a bit. We didn't have to go into a studio for 6 weeks and just do an album. Like, we could do 4 songs, then go away and play some shows, come back. If we didn't like anything, we could redo it, you know.
What a concept, not being responsible to anybody but yourselves, but that takes on a whole new responsibility, doesn't it?
I think it was difficult to know when it was done. I think Billy found that particularly, like, the mixing process for him was extensive, because I think, you know, you have a producer there to tell you, right, that's it, that's great, that's awesome, song ticked off. But for him, he had to tell himself that, like, when the mix was there. And I think that was, you know, something that was quite difficult for him.
So I did my timing, and the only songs that are over 3 minutes by 30 seconds are My Heart and Because of You.
Yeah.
Everything else is still really tight, to use that term. And if you use this term, it's really funny, because if we did this interview back in 2006 and I said really tight pop songs, it would have had a whole different meaning, but they're still really tight pop songs, right?
Yeah, like you say, we have very few songs over 3 minutes. In fact, if we make it over 3 minutes, we see it as like a little victory, like, woohoo, it's over 3 minutes. But I think it's just how we've always been. Like, we just like to keep things kind of free flowing and keep ideas exciting, so not repeat things too much. I don't know, it's just kind of something we've always done. I can't see us ever writing anything massively long. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll have a massive 10-minute epic on the next album.
Yeah, but yet you managed to put your relationship out there in a big way in under 3 minutes.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Whose decision was that to say, you know what, we're going to share with everybody all the things that have gone on?
Well, I think with this is, you know, I didn't really think about it. Like, Billy sent me, the song with my verse empty, and he said, you can just, you know, write what you want for this verse. And I listened.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
That's important.
So I just listened to the rest of the song, and I wasn't at the time necessarily thinking it was about me and Billy. I just wrote something as a story that was the sort of a female perspective of the male perspective that Billy had written. And I guess, you know, subconsciously it just was about us. I think, you know, we neither of us really intentionally meant to put it out there. It just kind of came out there.
Yeah, and I mean, also the other thing is that you're all in very different places now. So over the gestation of the band, when did that happen? When did you all suddenly say, okay, this is our lives, the band still counts, but we're also going to live our lives?
I think around about sort of kind of sort of touring through the second album, things just, you know, started to change. Billy and I weren't together anymore, but we then both got together with different people. My partner's from the north of England, so I moved up there with him. Josh met a lovely French girl and had a daughter, so he now is based in France. And I think, you know, life just comes along, and, you know, family is really, really important, as is the band. But we're just pretty organised about it. We just have to make sure we make it count when we do meet up, and, you know, be organised with travel. That's
it. I could show it to you, but I literally was in a supermarket today, grocery store, and the National Enquirer had a big headline that said, Prince died of AIDS, right? And so that brought a whole new meaning to pop death for me. The whole thing about celebrity. And you probably don't think about it one way or another, but you just did a meet and greet. And that group of people, they really look at you and put you up on a pedestal. So it must be an interesting balance waking up in the morning and saying, well, you know, heck, we haven't done this for this many years, but then you're back in it, right? And so how do you keep that balance?
We just love it. We just love being on tour. We love being on stage. I think it's, you know, it's an incredible experience going on stage. I've not found a feeling that feels quite that amazing. I think it's something we're all, to a certain extent, a bit addicted to, perhaps. You know, we really do love this, and we do tour quite extensively. And we just look forward to it. Like, we had a really quiet start to the year, and all of us have just been so excited about coming away again.
For people who, especially here, who are thinking, well, gosh, 8 years, they've been away for 8 years, they don't realize you've never been away.
Yeah, so we've been away from the States, but
As a band, you've never been on vacation as a band to any great extent.
Not to any great extent. A few months here and there, and, you know, it's a few months here and there to record albums and things like that. But we have continually played over the past 10 years. And it's kind of one of the reasons why we haven't made it back to the US, because things are going really well for us in Germany and Eastern Europe. And you kind of get tired up doing that. You do your A city tour, your summer festivals, then your B city tour. And, you know, it's kind of before you've done all that, and then you've been to France, and then you've been to the UK a few times, and the year's over, and, you know, it's kind of feel like, yeah.
But you see, we here in America, right, we just make the assumption that if a band is not here, and this will be the close before we do the last thing, and we hopefully can get Billy over here, but the American assumption is, wait a minute, a UK band, well, you know, you can only, a gold record is only 300,000 records, which nobody sells records anymore. Anyway, yeah. We all know that the money is in, you know, more so than ever. And you got it really early on, the licensing, obviously, that's where the money is, and performing. But this is really interesting, because what you're saying is, hi, America, guess what? We really have been busy, and yet we want it to come back, but it's complicated. And oh, by the way, we're still have a career here.
We would really love to make something happen here. I think this tour does feel like we're starting again, and that's kind of quite exciting in a way. We found it really exciting, kind of had to really fight for this tour, like, you know, to make it happen, to get here, you know, to get drum up ticket sales. There's been a lot of self-promotion, and I think it's a really good start. And the reason we wanted to come this time around is Billy's going to university in September for 3 years.
That's funny. I was actually, that was one thing, because I wanted to save his voice. Is it right at the bottom here? Yeah.
So we are going to do a fifth album in that time, but, you know, that's obviously going to take us a little while, because he's going to be busy at university. But then we would really like to come back to the US on that fifth album. So I think we need to do this tour to really, like, set ourselves up for that, and hope that we can sort of build again, I think.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Yeah. And what it is two of your songs as the bread on the outside, yeah, and then songs by anybody else in between. And I play 40 minutes of solid, nonstop music.
But are you up for, like, a female pop? A load of female pop? Because that's what I listen to.
Up